word that goes along with that, and then you see who got the same word, and you get points with that. Well, I think New Year's, there's maybe other words that come up with that, maybe New Year's Eve, New Year's resolutions is another big one, right? We just connect that with this time of year. We think about all the changes we want to make in our lives, the things that we want to do differently. So just the place that our culture that we put on New Year's resolutions, and it really is, there's something neat about doing that. It's a new year. You're looking ahead. We have time off from work, so it kind of gives a natural pause where we can reflect a little bit more and just stop chasing the next thing for a little bit. We can relax, we can think. And so there's things that our culture does, but we want to not just do things because our culture does it. We want to take our thoughts captive to make sure we're being obedient to Christ, right? And so as our culture does that, it's a great time for us to look and see what the Scripture says about this. And this is actually something that Scripture says a lot about, the place of examining our lives, of, as Gail read, Lord, search me, know my heart, test me. See if there's anything anxious. See if there's anything going on inside me that I need to see and lead me in that. So we're going to do that today. We're going to talk through some different things. It was kind of funny. I did a blog post just writing out a bunch of questions for you to think through. And then I got done with that blog post and started working on a sermon. And I thought, wait, I think we just need to do this for our message. So there is a printout in the back. It's got a bunch of questions on it, just things to kind of guide you as you think about just reflecting on the last year and also anticipating what's to come and planning your ways out. So if you want to grab that on your way out, you can. I'm going to go through a few of those questions. We're not going to cover all of them, but I just mentioned that. It'd be a great thing for you to get. Think through yourself. Maybe you talk through it with your spouse. There are a lot. It's one of those things you get going, and then you just start thinking of more and more and more. And so it is kind of lengthy, but Amanda and I, we went through part of them the other day, and we just had a great time just thinking back, you know, what has God done? What areas do we want to target? So I hope those serve you. We're going to go through these, a few of them, hit some, and get a little deeper into a few of those. So yes, we think about New Year's, evaluating what's happened in the past and looking forward to what's ahead. Scripture encourages us with that. We saw in Psalm 139 the place of that. We have that on the screen. God, search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there's anything grievous, anything I'm doing wrong, lead me in the way everlasting. It's a great prayer to pray. It's a great posture to have of waiting and seeking for asking him to show you what you need to do differently. There's other passages too. We have one in 1 Corinthians 11. We read this whenever we do the Lord's Supper. Lord, let a person examine himself and then so eat of the bread. So don't participate in the Lord's Supper without examining yourself. You want to examine yourself to make sure you are in line with God's word. You're examining yourself not with what your friend thinks you should do, not with what culture thinks you should do, but you're examining yourself with what Scripture says you should do. We're testing ourselves with God's word. That's our standard. A quote, one of my favorite quotes, it was from a 18th century Puritan pastor named William Abrakel, and he said, we want to carry God's word around like an architect carries his blueprint. If an architect's ever designing a building, he's constantly looking at the blueprint, right? Constantly looking. He's like, hey, I might get off a little bit. If I get off, I want to make sure I catch that early. I don't want to get done with the house and then realize, oh, hey, I measured wrong on the first floor and now everything else is off. We want to go to God's word. We want to examine ourselves. We want to make sure we're testing ourselves and what we're doing with God's word to make sure that we are following him. If there's something we're getting out of line, we'd rather catch it sooner than later, right? There's things that I need to remind myself of every day. There's truths that I need to be reminded of. There's things that I need to make sure I'm aware of. I need to be reminded I'm a child of God. I need to know his promises because the world gives a very different message. We've got to push back against that. So it's good and right for us to examine ourselves, to think through how am I living? What is going on in life? What does God's word say? We read God's word and don't just move on to the next thing. We want to let it connect to our hearts. I've heard some people say the furthest distance God's word has to travel is the 18 inches from your head to your heart. Sometimes we hear things, we hear it, but it doesn't really sink in. We want to be like a good marinade, right? You marinate a steak, you want that marinade to seep into it, to get into the inside of the meat. We want God's word to marinate in us so it goes not just in our ears, but down into who we are. We got to push aside other things. You know, there's so many distractions. I've thought, you know, that Puritan pastor talked about we should be like an architect with his plans. We should have God's word like that. I've said, we need to carry our Bibles like we carry our phones, right? You know, everybody's always looking at their phone. You know, they get a few seconds in the doctor's waiting room, bust out the phone. Let me see what's going on. You know, if we carried God's word like that, if we had a greater priority on knowing God's word, we would all grow significantly, wouldn't we? I know I would. There's times where it's like, I need to push the phone aside. Just need to be in God's word. We need to be doing that. We need to take our walk with God seriously. So many distractions. You know, we've got things popping up, things beeping and buzzing and just constantly distracting us. We've got to think about, am I taking God's word to heart? Is it seeping into me? So we see in Scripture that there's a place for examining ourselves, looking into our lives. We see that in Scripture. There's also a rich heritage of other people who have done this. If you want some inspiration and resolutions, read Jonathan Edwards, his resolutions. It's just brilliant, and it's so compelling and convicting to read some of what he writes. One of those, his first resolution was resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to the glory of God in my own good profit and pleasure in the whole duration of my life without any consideration of time, whether now or never, in ages forward. So basically he's just saying, it's like I resolve to do whatever is most to the glory of God. And I'm going to do what I can to get by. I'm going to do the bare minimum. No, he's like, I'm going to do whatever is most advantageous to God's glory, putting God first, himself second. Great, great writing to read at Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. So I want to go through it and just give a few categories for you to reflect on and think about. First one is reflect and give thanks for last year. Reflect and give thanks. I know that may throw some of you because you're ready to, like, hey, what do I need to do? I need to do that next thing. You do. I got to get my checklist. I got to get my list going on of things that I need to get done. We'll get to some of that in a second. Why don't you just stop and pause and reflect? What do you have to give thanks for? What do you have to celebrate that God has done in your life? You know, we all have things to celebrate. But a lot of times we just get so caught up in what he hasn't done. We get so caught up in what we need. God, I need, right? Wait a minute. God's been faithful this last year. My worst fears have not come true. If you're here, your worst fears haven't come true. God has a purpose for you. He has a plan. Have you noticed that? Have you reflected on that? Give thanks for what he has done. Where have you seen God provide for you and protect you? We've all experienced that, right? You experienced God's protection this last year? Raise your hand if you've experienced God's protection. Raise your hand if you've experienced challenges this last year. We all have challenges, and we're still here. So we've experienced God's grace. We want to celebrate that. We want to give thanks to him for what he has done. You know, we're familiar with Jesus, the healing of the 10 lepers, right? He went out and healed 10 people. 10 people on the verge of death. 10 people healed. How many came back to praise him? Only one. How often do we do that? God is working in our lives, but we're just, hey, great, he provided, I'm on to the next thing. Now you just need to stop. Come back. God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Let's celebrate that. That's a great thing to do. You know, do that with your friends and your family. A lot of times we get so caught up in, hey, I need to do the next thing. And hey, let me tell you what, you need to do this, 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 and this. Right? We do that with our kids, right? Hey, you got to get your SAT done. You got to get enrolled in college. You got to do this, 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 this. And sometimes it's just like, we just need to celebrate. Man, God is working in your life. You're growing. You know, you finished seventh grade. Praise God. Celebrate those things. Give thanks. Teach your kids that the place of giving thanks. We got a scripture verse for this, 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Not rejoice occasionally. Not rejoice when things are going well. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. We need to remind ourselves of that. Just the place of giving thanks. And when you're in a tough spot, and then you're surrounded by other people that are aware of the things that you have to give thanks for, it changes your disposition, doesn't it? You know, when you're there and you're just like, man, this is terrible, like this is the end of the world, and then somebody's like, oh, look at this, praise God. And you're kind of like, oh, I didn't even see that. I totally forgot about it. There's just something good and right and healthy about giving thanks in all circumstances. One of our favorite books to read to our kids has been the Little House on the Prairie series. Anybody familiar with that? It's a great series. It's fantastic. But they have this saying that mom will say over and over. It says, all's well that ends well. And it's just kind of neat because they go through some really hard things. I mean, there's a winter where they are on the verge of dying. You know, they have no food, no grain. They end up sending a couple young boys. I think they're like 12, 13, 14. They send them out to go through this blizzard to get to another town, to get a bag of grain and bring it back. And there's just all these challenges that they go through. And this common refrain is they just say, well, all's well that ends well. And another one is there's never any great loss without some gain. And we've just, you know, we have such an expectation that life is just supposed to be easy and everything come to you. And it's been so good reading these books from a different century, a different time period, where they are out farming and life is hard and difficult and they are giving thanks for what they have. We need to do the same thing. We need to cultivate that. This is a command. Rejoice always. That's a command. God, what can I do to honor you? Well, are you rejoicing? Are you giving thanks? Have you given up on doing that? Maybe last year was hard. You know, we've had a couple hard years. I don't know if it's going to get any easier or not, but we have all the reason in the world to give thanks and to celebrate. Let's do that. Let's honor the Lord. Give thanks. Let's see. Second category we're going to talk about. Reflect and pray about areas of change. That's an important thing. You know, we all have things that we want to grow in and change. I'm sure there's things that you don't like about last year. Maybe things that you did. Maybe things that you want to work on. Well, it's great. Reflect on those areas to change. Think about that. There's a place of considering those things. Here's a couple questions to ask. What do you regret most about this last year? That's great. You know, sometimes we go through things and we don't want to go back and open that can of worms. Okay, sometimes you need to move on. Sometimes you need to go back. Hey, what's going on? What did I regret this last year? What are things that I'd want to do differently? This was great. Amanda and I were talking through this and we just think, what do we regret most about last year? One of the things we both said is like, you know, we want to grow in hospitality. We've been trying to focus on that. It's been hard with COVID, and like I feel like all of our friends get sick all the time now. Like, I don't know what's going on with that. Like, we won't go into hibernating and come back, everybody's sick. So there's been some challenges, but it's also something that we just want to continue to grow in. And we thought we'd grow more last year. We're like, that's something we want to keep growing in. What's something that you regret about last year? What's something you want to change? Great thing to think about. Consider, what have you done to bring change in those areas? What are you doing to address it? So if you find a problem, come up with a plan, right? Man, I haven't been reading my Bible. I didn't read my Bible last year. What's your plan for this year? All right, hey, you got one day. Read it today. And then tomorrow, read it then. Just take it one day at a time. But what is your plan? You know, Bible reading can be a great thing to evaluate in the new year and then come up with a plan to address it. Sometimes, you know, if you go into it, you're like, I have no plan. I don't even know where to start. Well, hey, pick a book. Pick a book. Maybe you just start in the beginning and just how long does it take you to go through? But get a plan. Whatever that area is that you're working to grow in, come up with a plan for how to address it. And look, let me tell you, you may have 50 regrets from last year. Look, pick one. What's the one that is most significant? And just focus on that. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. There's so many things I could do differently. Pick one. Just pick one and grow in that area. Another question, what things in your life have distracted you from your walk with God? That's a great question. We have a lot of distractions. We get bumped and bruised and all those things, and we get off kilter. Kind of like the alignment on your car. You know, I keep having to buy new cars because people in my family hit stuff. and it knocks it out of alignment, and then someone else doesn't check it, and you just realize, hey, the tires are wearing funny, so I've got to go, and I've got to get new tires because my wheels are out of alignment. You know, they should be like that, but then one's like this, and they're not working right. They've been bumped. They've gotten out of alignment. You've got to get those back into alignment. We have distractions that bump us, that push us aside. Sometimes we have a busy week at work, and we don't recover from that right away. What has distracted you? What is keeping you from pursuing God and His Word? A couple other questions. The next one. Another thing. Hey, what sin do you have in your life that you are trying to put to death? Maybe it's a lack of thankfulness, a lack of rejoicing. Maybe that's what it is. What is causing that? You know, we can look at that. You know, we look at the fruit, but what's going on underneath? You know, we used to have an apple tree at our house in Maryland, and it would have these tiny little apples, and they would have like bugs and stuff in them. So we just beautiful big apple tree, but the fruit was terrible. Now I could go out and just staple some pretty apples on there, and hey, we've got a great tree, right? But that's not the problem. Like, what's going on underneath? It's actually funny. A few years into owning the house, the tree died, and we cut it down, and we realized it was all rotten on the inside. The problem was internal. The problem was in the roots. The fruit was bad because the roots were bad. You know, so if you start seeing stuff in your life, like a lack of gratefulness, well, what's going on? What's the deeper issue? Maybe you're not able to make it to church because of certain things. You start looking, well, hey, what is that? Is this really because my work doesn't allow me, or does this reflect a lack of priorities? What's going on internally? Am I trusting God in this area? So look deeper. If you read Colossians 3, we've got it on there. Colossians 3, it talks about put off and put on. There's certain things in life we need to put to death. Our sin, our ungratefulness, our bitterness, our anger, rage, all those things. We have to put those to death. What are you trying to put on? Kindness, patience, love, gentleness, self-control. As you think about what you want to put off, think about what you want to put on. Think about what God's Word says to you to address those areas. We want to get down deep. We don't just want to staple fruit onto our tree. We want to get at the roots. Like, what's going on in my heart? When you start asking those questions about your heart, that's where you start to experience real and lasting change. Let's see. Another one to talk about. Reflections on your spiritual life. What is going on in your walk with God? You know, we hear, you don't hear culture say, hey, you need to read your Bible more. Anybody heard that on the news recently? Like, you don't get that. You typically don't go to the doctor and he tells you, hey, you need to spend more time in God's Word. But you hear, the buzzword that you hear now is self-care. Anybody hear that? Hey, you need to make sure you're caring for yourself. And it's true because we get so focused on other things, we neglect ourselves, but we are in a culture and society that neglects the spiritual element of who we are. When people start talking about self-care, yes, it can be exercise. It can be just getting a break. But I'm constantly amazed how when our culture starts talking about things, often it's a repackaging of what God's Word says. God's Word tells us, take a day off. God's Word tells us that we should be in His Word on a regular basis. That's, you want to care for yourself? Read God's Word. Take some time, push aside your distractions. Like Gail said, read the Psalms. Read what's going on there. Read about the promises of God. You will be encouraged. We need that. We are not made to be independent of God. When you push aside God, a lot of times you get what you ask for. You get life without God. You begin to be distracted, discouraged, frustrated, angry. That's fruit of a life without God. If you want to be changed, spend time with Him. And so take care of yourself. Get in God's Word. We want to reflect on our spiritual needs. Read a couple of these. I actually read William Penn. He was a Christian writer. He's one that founded Pennsylvania, Penn State University, named after him. He's got a great book called The Fruits of Solitude. He actually wrote this while he's in prison for his faith. When you're in prison for your faith, it gives you time to reflect, right? And he's got some great things to read. One of his, he said this, we've become so addicted to pleasure that we won't eat ordinary food or drink wheat or stale drink. We must have the very best food and very best drink for our bodies while our souls feed on empty and rotting things. Isn't that true? I mean, we live in a time where it's like, hey, I want my Starbucks coffee and I want it with this and that and all this other stuff. And we've got all the bells and whistles. And then what are we nourishing ourselves with spiritually? Do we care what kind of diet we're on spiritually? William Penn also said this. In short, we're spending everything on an empty house with little or nothing inside to recommend to it. This is like preferring a box over the jewel that it holds. Isn't that neat? Think about giving your wife, giving your girlfriend a nice pair of earrings. And then she's just excited about the box. Doesn't care about the earrings. You're like, what? You know, this is a precious jewel inside. Oh, I just want the box. Apparently there's different colors of boxes that are better. But you know, it is kind of funny where we get so focused on the box and we neglect the thing. Sometimes in our houses, we're more worried about the box and what it looks like on the outside than the inner reality. What about how people perceive you? Are you more interested in how people perceive you or how God perceives you? God knows your heart. He knows what's going on. Are you concerned with that? We want to evaluate ourselves spiritually so that we can grow, so that we can change, so that we can experience more of God. That's the great thing is we talk about change. It's not just changing, so I want to get better at this and that and that. Our main goal for changing is that we would have more of God in our lives. I've never heard anybody get to the end of life and say, you know what, I just regret that I spent so much time with God. Never heard anybody say that. You never regret that. As you have more God, as you're changed by Him, your life is better for it. Even if your circumstances never change, your life is better because of the time you spent with God. That's what we're made for. That's what we're designed for. That's the longings that we have that we want. It's for more of God. He's the only one that can really satisfy us. So let me give you a few questions to think through spiritually. We got a few of these on the screen. First, what ways of serving God have brought you the most joy this year? You know, we want to talk about things we haven't done and things to correct, but man, sometimes there's things you just want to add fuel to that fire. What have you done this year that excited you? What ways have you served God that it just energizes you? It makes you happy. It gives you a smile. Maybe it's singing on the worship team. Maybe it's greeting people out front. Maybe it's reading your Bible. You know, I was thinking about this. A man and I, we talked through this. I said, you know, one of the things that I've just loved is having quiet time in the morning. You know, just we've kind of taught our kids, hey, in the morning, just we are doing quiet time. You have to be quiet too. I'm not going to get anything for you. I'm not going to answer questions. We're having quiet time. And I can't drink coffee anymore, but I drink, all right, you might be weird out by this, but I drink kombucha. I drink fermented rotten tea, and I love it. It's fantastic. And I just need a little caffeine in the morning, so I drink that, and it's just a wonderful time of being quiet. And the thing that I was so grateful for, as we talked through that, I was like, I've most enjoyed that. I'm just so grateful for that. And I thought, years ago, that wouldn't have been on my list. There was a time where it was just really hard to make time for reading God's word. And I would read it, and there were words I didn't understand. There were things that I didn't get. And I just remember praying and saying, God, I know this is important, and I know this is a source of life. Help me to enjoy this. Help me to get more out of it. And I just feel like over the years, God is answering that prayer. You may be in that place where you just need to pray that prayer. God, help me to make time for this. Help me to enjoy it. Help me to see what I need to see. God's faithful with those prayers. How diligently are you pursuing God? That's the second one. What does it look like to diligently pursue God? Look, if you're gonna get in shape this next year, it's not gonna come easily. You're gonna have to stop eating certain things. You're gonna have to start working out. It's hard. If you want to grow spiritually, same thing. It doesn't happen by accident. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes you saying no to certain things and saying yes to other things. You've got to be diligent in that. You've got to be diligent. Being in God's Word. One of the questions on here. What does the quality and consistency of your daily Bible reading and prayer time look like? Look, if it's you opening a Bible with ESPN SportsCenter on 2 feet away, probably not going to have great quality. I could not have great quality in God's Word with the highlights from last night's basketball game going on, right? It's not going to happen. I'm also not going to have a great quiet time if I've got my email up and I'm just looking at all the stuff I need to get done that day. I just need to pull aside. I want to have good quality in God's Word. What does that look like for you? In a few weeks, we're going to start our 28 days of prayer and fasting. We did that last year. And, you know, this has been, to my surprise, of all the things we've done as a church, this is one that I've heard more people comment on of being such an incredible help to them. We live in the land of plenty. There's plenty of stuff to do, plenty of stuff. And just, we get bombarded with that. And sometimes the best thing we can do is just say no to certain things, to push those aside. Sometimes we have to say no to certain things in order to say yes to God. We've got to be diligent. It's 28 days. We want to challenge everybody. 28 days. The book of Matthew is 28 chapters. I'm going to challenge everybody. Read a chapter a day. It can be a great start. And I'm hoping that when we get done with Matthew and we get done with this prayer and fasting, you just go to the next book and you just start doing that. Do a chapter a day. It's a great place to start. Great minimum to have. I'm going to be in God's Word. I'm going to read a chapter each day. Another thing, if you want to grow, what does your commitment to the gathering with believers and prayer and Bible study and service say? You know, we talk all the time. Church isn't just a once-a-week event. Church, we're a community. We're connected. We're spending time with each other. We're getting to know each other. We know how we can really be praying for you. And we're doing that. We're praying together. We're reading God's Word. We're trying to strengthen one another and grow strong in our faith. We need to make time for that. Church is obviously an important part of that. One thing you can ask yourself is, what does your commitment to church say about your walk with the Lord? Church is important in the Word of God. When you read the New Testament, there's a priority in being in church. And yes, church is messy. Church is difficult. And God works in you in tremendous ways through that. But it has to be a priority. One of my biggest concerns today for our culture is the unbiblical view of church that most professing Christians have. We just don't view it as being very important. I heard a stat that right now we're on pace, 4,500 churches are closing their doors each year. A big part of that is people just aren't valuing being together, don't see a place of doing that. And so we've grown up in a country where you go around and there's a lot of churches, multiple churches on a corner. Sometimes people joke about that. That is changing. It's changing very quickly. Our culture is changing. Are we going to be shaped by our culture and the world, or are we going to be shaped by the Word of God? Because God calls us to come together as His people, to come together in fellowship, to come together to read His Word, to come together to share and pray and encourage one another, and to pray for the lost, to be a place that people know, hey, I know that I can go to this place at such and such time on such and such day, and I'm going to hear about faith in Jesus Christ. That doesn't happen if there's not a committed group of people that are laboring together to make that happen, that are sacrificing New Year's Day plans, that are sacrificing plans each Sunday. That's what we're about as a church. Jesus Christ changed my life. I was a mess, and I found peace in Him. I found a joy that I couldn't find in anything else, and it changed my life so much I wanted to give up a career in other fields to tell people about this Savior. That's what we're called to do as a church. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not coming here just to entertain one another. We're not coming just to hang out and have a good time. We want to tell others about Jesus Christ and how they can trust in Him and have a peace that you have never found in anything else before. Not in cars and possessions and houses and spouses and all that other stuff. You can only find it in Christ. That's what we want to be about as a church. I want you to think about that. As you think about how diligently you're pursuing the Lord, how are you pursuing fellowship with others, time in God's Word, church, all of those things. Another thing to think about. So we have it on the next one. What does your bank account and calendar say is of first importance? That is a great question. When I was in college, I heard a guy say that. That's been a long time ago. I was talking to somebody going to freshman year. I'm like, you weren't born when I graduated. It's been a long time still. You know, there's certain things about our walk with God that are hard to quantify. These numbers, some people say numbers don't lie. They can tell you where your heart is. It's not the end all be all, but it can tell you where your heart is. What is of first importance in your finances? What is of first importance in your calendar? You know, some people will be like, hey, I go to small group when I can. Wait, what does that mean? There's always something. You know, what's getting the first part of your calendar? What's getting the first part of your money? That tells you what's going on. We want God to be of first importance in all of life. There's that old saying, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. We want to serve him with all that we have. We want to trust him. You know, one of the reasons I want to talk about this, I read a book recently, John Mark Comer, Relentless Elimination of Hurry. He's great, a great cultural analysis on the place of resting and giving. And he says, taking a day off, it affects all the days of the week, not just that one. It forces you to rethink everything. It forces you to recalibrate and slow down. I think that's a good word for our culture because we can just get so busy doing other things. Sometimes you just take a day off, rest. You need to do that. He says the same thing with tithing. Tithing forces us to think differently, not just about that 10%, but everything. It forces us to think through, what is a priority in my life? What are the things that are really important? And sometimes you start to see what you can give up and you start to experience less anxiety. Isn't that funny? How giving first to the Lord, you know, you come to that and you think, wow, I'm going to give 10% to God. Man, that's crazy. And you start to see how freeing it is. Those are great things to evaluate. Evaluate the place of giving. Evaluate the place of resting. You know, in his book, he talks about God commands us to rest. Why did he need to command us to rest? Because we are so quick to just busy, more. What an act of worship to say, I trust God and I'm going to rest today. I'm going to rest. I'm going to give my mind a break. I'm not going to think about social media and all that other stuff. I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest in him. He is good and he is faithful. Think about that. Think about your calendar. Think about your finances. Let's see. Another question, how might God call you to simplify life in order to make more of him? What can you simplify? You know, that's one of the big problems we have. You know, sometimes coming to faith and making change just means you just throw a little bit of Jesus in with everything else, right? You've got all this other stuff going on, and now your religion is just one more thing to do. Sometimes we've got to eliminate things. We've got to see, what does God say is most important? And this is where it can be so freeing. He frees us just from that relentless pursuit of other things. And we can rest. You can have rest. Should we try and do that as a family? Have a day of rest. No, we're not running off to soccer. Not even going to sign up for that league. We're going to be here. We're going to be together. We're going to have a meal. We're going to rest. It's a great thing to discipline yourself with, discipline your kids. How do you simplify life? Saw something. It said, the more stuff we get, the less peace we have. Isn't that true? More stuff you get, the less peace you have. Jesus frees you to enjoy a simple life focused on him. We don't have to keep chasing like a hamster in a cage, just chasing something that we'll never get. Frees us from that. What can you do to simplify? Experience the freedom that's in that. A fourth thing is reflect on hope. What hope do you have? What aspects of having salvation in Jesus gives you the most hope and encouragement? This is a great thing to talk through with other people. Talk through with your friends. Talk through with your spouse. What is it that Jesus has done for you that gives you the most hope? I feel like so much of our life is spent, we're being hopeless, feeling like the ship is going down. No, we have hope. We have encouragement. Let's talk about that. How are you experiencing hope in Jesus today? What do you most look forward to about heaven and the renewal of creation? That's a great question. We need to be reminded of that. I was thinking about this, and I was like, I'm so glad that there's not going to be any COVID in heaven. Remember, there's going to be no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering. I'm looking forward to that. No more sickness and no more overreactions and craziness and all the stuff that we've been through. None of that. There's going to be peace. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to share that with others. You know, one of the things, we want to reflect on our hope because God is at work in our lives. He's at work changing us. You know, as we evaluate what's gone on in the past, as we evaluate where we have fallen short, there's a sense in which we do that. We start looking at where we've messed up, and our sin becomes greater. It becomes greater. Our mistakes are greater. It's not just, oh, I was a little short-sighted, and I didn't. No, it's like, I sinned against God. I knew I shouldn't do that. I did that. I know I should be more grateful, and yet I'm being bitter. We can own our sin and just say, God, I'm sorry. We can say that to our spouses. Our sin becomes greater. But that's not just the goal, is that we just see our sin in greater ways. Our goal is that we would see how great a Savior we have. Look at Romans 7. Paul did this. He starts evaluating, looking at himself and seeing that the things that he doesn't want to do, he does. And the things he does want to do, he doesn't do those. And as he starts to look at that, he says this, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Wretched. I don't often wake up thinking, "Hey, I'm a wretched man." But it's true. We are wretched. We are sinners. Who will deliver me from this? Who will deliver me from this? I'm a mess. I need a Savior. Verse 25, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the good news of the gospel. Yes, your problems are bigger than you can imagine. The good news is you have a Savior that is way greater than you can imagine also. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." That's the gospel. That's why we want to reflect on ourselves. You know, we don't hide from things that we've messed up on because we know Jesus sees it all. He sees it all, and we know that he's working in us. So we can admit when we're wrong. We can admit our mistakes. But we also don't just have this woe is me attitude that we just can't look past our mistakes. If you're just sulking in your own problems, you need to know that there's a Savior and you need to look to him. Jesus is our Savior. He promises us forgiveness. For whatever you've done, you can experience forgiveness, and he is also at work in us, changing us. You may not be who you want to be, but you're also not who you once were. He's working in your life. There is an incredible freedom that comes with knowing Jesus, where we can speak openly and honestly about our mistakes, and we can speak about them because we have hope that he is in us and he's changing us. You know, as we think about 2023, moving forward and growing, we want to think about, what does it look like if I gave God everything? If I gave him first place in my life, what would my life be like? How might I experience change? As we think about planting a church, reaching the culture, I think our culture needs to see a place that is putting God first. We're not perfect, but we are sincere. And a place that you can come and really know one another and be inspired and spurred on to do the same thing in your life. And what if there's things that we need to see? I know God has something for all of us to grow in, something for us to stretch ourselves, to experience more of him. What if we go into this 28 days of prayer and fasting, praying, "God, search me, know me, show me. How can I give more of my life to you? How can I walk more faithfully with you?" We want that to be our goal. We want that to be our goal this year. We want that to be our goal each and every day. But for us to have a time set aside this year that we're going in praying and seeking God to work in our hearts, to make known his plan for us, to reveal his word in more significant ways, we want that. You know, I used to be someone that I would pray. I was like, "God, just help me to get away with these things." You know, when I was a new believer, I was just like, "I know I shouldn't do this, but God, just help me get away." And then I just realized that's the exact opposite of what I should be praying. I should be praying, "God, help me to bring more of my life into conformity with your will and your ways." That's what we want to do. That's where our hearts should be. Let's pray. Father, we're just excited to start a new year. You are with us. You are real. You are present. And you are at work in us. And so we start this new year with much faith, with much anticipation, that the same grace we experienced last year, we're going to experience it in new ways. And God, I pray for myself, I pray for all of us here, I pray for us as a church, that we would just lay open our lives to you, and we would ask you to shape us and guide us, and help us to be quick to respond to what you call us to do. Help us to be quick to give up the things that we need to give up. Help us to be quick to do the things that we need to do. And God, I just pray that we would see more of you, that we would experience more of you, and that we would know you in deeper ways. God, that is our prayer. It is simply that we would know you better, that we know you more deeply, more intimately, and that we'd be more faithful to who you are and what you've done. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of response. It's a fitting song. It gives us a prayer.